Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and we'll read for our text, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Well-known Psalm, Psalm 46 and verse 10. We read these two portions, the portion here and the portion in Haggai, really representing two things that we are in our land. We know the Lord speaks through major things that happen in the earth. Here it speaks of wars and the Lord bringing those to cease unto the end of the earth, breaking the bow, cutting the spear in sunder. And we think of the great wars that our nation have known, and no doubt many of them going through that time thought, how shall this be brought to a close and how shall it be brought to an end? And yet the Lord did bring it to an end, though it was many years before that was so. We may be thinking through this time as well with the pandemic. How shall it come to an end? When will it come to an end? We're reminded in this psalm that God does bring these times of trial and times of his great power to an end. We had then the portion in Haggai where the reminder that the Lord speaks to a nation, to a people, through the fruits of the field, through those things that are brought that actually touch their lives. You would remember that not only does the Lord control the virus, but he also controls those of our leaders and of the nations of the earth in the decisions that they make. The Lord has appointed those lawmakers, and the decisions that affect our lives are also in the Lord's hand, in the Lord's appointment. And so those things that are affecting us and affecting our nation at this time, we would think, what are being affected? You know, employment's being affected, pleasures being affected, liberties, freedoms being affected. And we're told in the last days men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You think of what is said of Noah's day. They bought, they sold, they married, they gave in marriage. All of those things are being touched. Our buying, our selling, our marriages, our funerals as well. In all of these things, the Lord is touching things that at the end, you say, men will be completely swallowed up in them. But now in a day of grace, the Lord is touching all of those things. If the Lord would say to us, I give you warning. I give you warning before the end. I'll touch all these things. Will you acknowledge my hand? Will you look unto your Maker now while it is the day of grace, before it is the end? And this isn't just one nation, it's all nations. And we should really notice this. Our God is a good God, a gracious God, a merciful God. And yes, for the people of God, he has warned them that it shall be as in the days of Noah, or shall be in the days of Lot. But he is a merciful God. And where men will not read their Bibles, and where they will not seek the Lord in that way, then he speaks through providence. And he speaks in a way that they will hear and they will notice. And they are noticing. Sadly, as many of my brethren in the ministry are noticing, and especially those with evangelism, in some cases, yes, there are those turning to the house of God. But in many men's hearts are being hardened. And yet even in that, God is justified and God is glorified, because he is sending out these warnings and he's sending out these things to shake up our lives. And for the people of God, They are chosen in their day and their generation, like David was chosen to serve his day and generation. We are chosen for this time, and we should not be silent. We should be what the Lord would have us to be at such a time as this. When we read the signs, we're able to speak and have openings to speak to those round about us and those that are brought into concern, to warn them of the great need to look unto the Lord at such a time. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Well, in this psalm is a psalm, firstly, for the people of God as a way of assurance of them. In the very first verse, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. And sometimes, I remember several years ago, there was a brother in trial and in need, and I went to write an email to him, and I was going to couch it in words like this: may the Lord be your refuge and strength. And I stopped. I thought, you don't write that. This is a dear brother. You may write to him, God is our refuge and strength. Not might be, not maybe. And the Church of God is reminded of this, that God gives his word as a sure support to lean upon, to rest upon. It is the devil that says, hath God said, and puts in the ifs and buts and maybes. But our God, he says to his people, God is our refuge and strength. And that is the foundation why we will not fear. And so we have this in the psalm here. We have also twice an assurance of the promise and presence of the Lord. In verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And then at the end of the psalm, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Selah, pause and consider that the Lord is with us. And in such a context of the psalm and context of what we are going through now, to have an assurance that the Lord is with us is a wonderful thing. It is a real blessing to discern that and to notice every token that the Lord is with us at such times. The Lord has given you, dear friends, here those tokens that the Lord is with you. And so when you read this word, you may say, amen, the Lord is with us. And we may prove that the word is a true word. So twice have I heard this, power belongeth unto God, but twice have I heard this, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And the refuge for the people of God is our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We think of the types in the Old Testament, the cities of refuge, that those that had slain a man unawares could run unto and flee to and find refuge in those cities. They are types of our Lord. Those that had refuge there, they stayed there until the death of the high priest. Well, our Lord has already died, but he lives. So it's a refuge forever for the people of God. And they don't want to return and go back, as it were, to their old house. They like that city of refuge. They're pleased with that refuge. And they stay there. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge. And then the third thing that is actually set forth to the people of God here, and this is in our text, that the Lord will be exalted. Exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. And it's this last point I want to look further after we've considered the first part of the text, the assurance which I hope will be a comfort, encouragement to the people of God. That at such times, and we might look all around and think the Lord is not being exalted, but here the Lord says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So 2 points this afternoon with the Lord's help. Firstly, the Lord's charge to his people, which is the first part of our text, be still and know that I am God. This is his charge to his people. And the second is the assurance that the Lord will be exalted. He will be exalted. So firstly, the Lord's charge to his people. Be still and know that I am God. Two really parts to it. One is be still, and then in that stillness, and know that I am God. And what I've felt to do is several passages of scripture where there's the situation where we are to be still, and there's a lesson to learn in it, and that which we are to know that the Lord is God in it. The first one I bring before you is that of bereavement, and it is when John the Baptist was killed, and the disciples, they came, they took up the body, they went and they buried it, then they went and told Jesus. And we read that there was much coming and going in that place. They had not so much leisure, no, not to eat at all. And the Lord says to them, come ye apart and rest a while. And they go out and they go and they sit and they hear the word of the Lord. The Lord in that situation of bereavement, of coming, of going, their sorrows, John the Baptist, one of the Lord's dear people, many might have thought with this, surely the eminence he had, the last of the prophets, the one that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, surely his end can't be like that. And there might be those in this present situation. You say, well, we've had some that have been the deacons of our chapels, and they've been taken in this way, as Michael Bailey was in the William Harvey Hospital from Gyra, and others that have been touched, and sometimes the people of God, their faith wavers, it shakes in this. How is the Lord dealing with this, and his people are suffering, are being dealt with in this way? Do not we read here that God is our refuge? We do not need to fear. But we do know that the Lord has appointed that through death he'll bring his dear people home. It is for them to sleep in Jesus. How and when he brings that about is his sovereign way. With the godly king Josiah, it was told that he shouldn't see the evil in his days, he should die in peace. But he died in battle. But that was the Lord's saving him from what was later coming on in the earth. And so we are to see the Lord's sovereignty in how he deals even in bereavement. And I think at this time is important to realize that. There are many that have been bereaved, there are many that have lost loved ones, they couldn't be with them much at the end, or like the funeral we had the other week up at Birkenhead, and we could just have just a few of us to go up into that high-risk area and straight out again, over 2 weeks ago now. And yet these things are difficult. They are hard things to bear. And so be still in the midst of that, in the midst of all the emotions, the feelings, to be still, to listen. What is the Lord speaking in this? Know that I am God. I am the author and finisher of faith. I am the giver of life. I am the taker of life. I am the order of how one shall be brought down to his journey's end, whether it's the whim of a wicked king and his evil wife and daughter, and to be suddenly dispatched in the prison. I am God, and I will sovereignly order the ways of all my dear people and their lives. Come ye apart. Come ye apart and rest a while. Hear the word of the Lord. Are there some of you, or some that hear this afternoon in this, and through all of the bereavements and sorrows, there's been such a turmoil, maybe stirred up in your heart and in your life and in your loved ones because of what has happened. May the Lord speak that peace, be still. And there was a great calm. May he assure you, I am God. I am still on the throne. I am still on the throne. The second one I bring before you is closely related, and that is in submission. You have a most solemn case with Aaron, the high priest, when his sons, Nadab and Abihu, offered strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord slew them, and he saw it, saw his sons killed in that way. And Moses, he said, this is the word of the Lord, that he be sanctified in all those that come near unto him. And we read just these few words, and Aaron held his peace. He was still. You know, there's sometimes we might have that thought, there's something I should do. There's something I should act in these situations. I mean, maybe all churned up. But the answer of the Lord is to just hold our peace. We might think, well, that's not doing anything. But when you see it in the context of Aaron and what had happened, the very holding of peace showed that grace of the Lord. He was still, and he was still knowing that the Lord was God. And the Lord had justly done what he had done, even with his sons. And maybe this is an answer to one. You might have come today and you say, Lord, what will thou have me to do in this situation? How would you have me to act? And the Lord answers, hold your peace. Hold your peace. And there is the grace and help of the Lord. Third one I bring before you is that of dear Martha. Martha, Martha, said our Lord, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that better part, which shall not be, or that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Busyness. Busyness in the presence of the Lord. Busyness even in doing those things we think that we are serving the Lord and helping his cause. And I know we haven't got that today, have we, in our Thanksgiving services, the ladies, and we've just had ours at Cranbrook yesterday. And we know what it is to be so busy preparing all the food and all of the refreshments, and sometimes even in the service you're thinking, have we turned the urn on? And you look around the congregation, have we got enough food? And the mind is away from the service and away from the word. You haven't got that, have you, this afternoon? But we can be very much like Martha in many things in our life. And instead of being still, my dear Mary was, and hearing the word of the Lord, we're so busy. You know, we can't see our grandchildren, our children much at this time. We might have them down for a day. You might think, oh, this needs to be done, that done. And while you've got the children playing in the lounge, and I'm busy doing something in the study or somewhere else, if you don't use that time and you've got them actually there, you won't have that time. No, dear, Martha didn't think, well, the Lord won't always be in my house. He won't always be speaking the word here. But how easy it is to lose that time. Religious busyness. How it can mask deficiencies in our own soul. We can make up for a lack of that communion and fellowship and union with the Lord by much bluster and doing things outside instead of sitting and being still and hearing the word of the Lord. You know, during this time I felt, and it has been for many of us in the ministry, especially if we have upon ourselves not only the ministry but working all the technology side of it as well in our chapels, it can get very, very busy. But it's a sad thing if that takes away our closet time, the valued time before the Lord, the communion and fellowship that we have before the Lord. And those of us in the ministry, we always must really be very careful in this, that our life doesn't just exist of preparing for the next sermon, and we don't actually have that communion time. You say, I'm not now studying the Word, I'm not now looking for a text, I'm now sitting at the feet of my Lord and hearing His voice and enjoying that communion as one of His children. And we need that. And whatever position, and sometimes it might be very hard for you that a mother's here with the demands with the children and the house, when can I get time to actually turn aside and have some closet time? It takes a lot of discipline or think of planning out the day to work out what time shall be available. And sometimes a husband cannot think this. You think, well, we have our family reading and prayer, but not think, well, from the time we got up and I've gone off to work and I left my wife with the family, but when am I going to give her time so that she can go to her closet or she can have time on her own? And it does take to think on that. Be still in the busyness and the cares that we have, to sit at the feet of the Lord, to know that He is God, to actually worship Him as our God, to say with dear Thomas, my Lord and my God. There is where we get our strength and where we get the help and the grace that we need to be able to continue. And so for those of you here and you think, well, preacher, you've hit the nail on the head. This is me. I'm all busyness, but not sitting at the feet of the Lord. May it be the word of the Lord to put that right. It's a loving word to dear Martha. And we read in another place, the Lord loved Martha. May we always remember that. And those of you that may feel that busyness and that lack of sitting at the Lord's feet, the Lord loved Martha. The Lord loves His dear children, even when they err in that way. But then, be still and know that I am God in the changing scenes of life. Psalm 107 is a very well-known psalm to us, a lovely psalm. And we have their varying scenes that the child of God goes through. And each time he falls down and there is none to help. And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord delivers them out of their destructions. The Lord sends His word and He heals them. Right the way through it, there's the cry, oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. It's obvious men are not. They're not praising. They're not looking at His goodness. At the end of that psalm, in verse 43, we read, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. If we are running and going from scene to scene in our lives and we never stand back and we observe and watch these things, we won't understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, your children here, you don't take much to understand love from your parents when they give you something nice and pleasant, a birthday or whatever it is. But if they give you a good hiding, if they send you to your bedroom, they punish you, then that takes some understanding that actually there is as much or more love in that than in those good things that have been given you. because you're being kept from evil and wrong ways. Your character has been formed in the right way, brought into the ways of the Lord and in obedience. So the loving kindness of the Lord is a loving kindness that is to be understood, but only if we observe these things. Those that have to spend a long time in hospital, my dear wife, when she was young in her afflictions, having to spend a lot of time in hospital, learned the art in one way of observing, because she couldn't be active, she had to be still. So just to notice everything that goes on in the ward, everything that goes on around her. With someone that is very active, doesn't do. And the actual art of observing is very important. And you know, we are conditioned to it, aren't we? If we went and took four tradesmen round our house, if we took a painter and a plumber and a carpenter and an electrician, and we took them round the house, and afterwards you say, now, you write down what you've observed. And you'd find that the painter would be observing the painting aspects, the plumber, the plumbing, the electrical, the lighting aspects of it, the carpenter, the actual building itself. And each would be looking at what he was trained in. Okay, my wife, when we went years ago to the London Eye, she said to me, "You're not even interested in the view, are you? All you're doing is looking at the eye, the engineering of it, and how it works." I said, "Yeah, because I'm an engineer. I can see the beauty of it, the good design of it." And yeah, the view was there, but I was conditioned to see. And you know, may we be conditioned to see the Lord's goodness. One of the dear friends at Wattisham said to me once, he said, "Whosoever will observe providence will never lack a providence to observe." Sometimes we might think the Lord is not working at all, but the Lord is, and the only thing is that we are not observing it because we're not being still and we're not watching and we're not noticing what actually is happening. Too busy, too much coming and going. Think of Psalm 107 in that, and the words of our text. "Be still and know that I am God." And then the Lord will get his praise, and will get his honour, and will get his glory. The fifth one is in waiting for the Lord. In the book of Ruth, we have the account there, and when she had presented her petition to Boaz, then Naomi gave her some good advice, and she said to her, "Sit still, my daughter, the man will not be in rest until you have finished the thing this day." And you read in the fourth chapter of Ruth, not of Ruth doing anything at all, you read of what Boaz was doing on her behalf. She presented her petition. She had that time of active, if you would like, presenting her whole case to Boaz. But Ruth knew, Naomi knew then it was in hand. And so in effect she was to say to Ruth, "Be still. You be still and know that the Lord is God. Boaz will do what is needed, and you just wait." And may it be, there is a time to act, and there's a time to be still. And there was with Ruth. And here, "Be still and know that I am God." The context here, the context with Ruth, it was where God was working. God was working. This is the Lord's work. It's marvellous in our eyes. They looked on while the angel of the Lord did wondrously. Manoah and his wife, they were still and they saw the Lord working. And that is a wonderful thing, to see the Lord's work. I've no doubt the apostles were very diligent in their ministry, in their missionary journeys, But when they hear of the work of God and that those in Antioch had received the grace of God, then they send Barnabas, you go. You're going now not to minister, not to bring souls, but you go and see. You go and see. And he saw the grace of God and was glad. And those times are precious times when we are being still and we see. We see the Lord's work and we see what he is doing. And so with Ruth, may it be a word to one here to be still, to sit still, my daughter. The man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. The last one I bring before you under this first heading is in our zeal, and it's a searching one I've always found, and that is the case of Jehu in the Old Testament and the Jews that Paul referred to in Romans 10 in the New. With Jehu, he says to Jonadab, come up into my chariot and see my zeal for the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 31. And he was executing all the judgment of the Lord against the house of Ahab. He slew the kings of Judah and Israel and then killed Jezebel, or dealt with Jezebel. And in every way he was executing that which was good in the eyes of the Lord. But we read that Jehu took no heed to walk in the ways of the Lord in his own heart. A busyness or a zeal outwardly, but not inwardly. And we find Paul, he's longing in Romans 10 for his countrymen, his brethren, and he said, who have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They were going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness which is by faith. Now we had in our hymn about the law and using it lawfully. And you know the law, it commands men to work and to do. It doesn't give any help and there's no reward at the end of it. By the law is the knowledge of sin, but not justified by that way. But to hear the voice from Calvary, it is finished. And when a soul receives that and to believes that, be still and know that I am God. We think what we said of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. There is one here. And you haven't been still. But in all your efforts and diligence and trying to work out a righteousness and acceptance with God yourself. And everything gets worse and the troubles get more. May you hear from the word here, the word of the gospel, be still. Be still. Thy working makes thee worse. That will never bring salvation. But know that I am God, pointing to Calvary. There is the Lamb of God. There is the satisfaction. There is that which shall save thy soul. Faith in that finished sacrifice and that which was accomplished there. You know, really, all that come to gospel, peace, liberty and blessing cease from their own works, bad or good, and trust solely in the finished work of the Lord. We think of the Old Testament where we have 6 days of toil and of labour, and then we have a day of rest. But in the New Testament, the Lord rose on the first day of the week. Twice he appeared to his disciples then, the disciples followed him, and where they met together in their churches was the first day of the week. The Lord is risen indeed. The work is done. work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling, for is God that worketh in you. It is the work of God for a sinner that he has done, that then the grace that he gives his dear people, he shows forth the praises of him who hath called them out of nature's darkness and into his marvellous light. May we not be like Jehu or those in Paul's day that had much zeal, but it was not saving, it didn't touch their own hearts, and it was not that that magnified and glorified God in exalting his beloved Son and his way of salvation. In part, Jehu was, because he executed the judgment of the Lord against the wicked house of Ahab. But he himself personally was not a partaker of that grace that touches the heart, not just outside. So there's a message in our text here for the people of God first. We've always thought in this pandemic, judgment shall begin at the house of God, and the Lord shall search Jerusalem with candles. But when he begins there, and he blesses them, and he begins there because he loves his church and he loves his people, and God will be known by his people that he is God. Then we have the second part, the second message here, the assurance that the Lord will be exalted. And you know, God's dear children, when they know it in their own heart, they know he is exalted there. But we're told in this second part, I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. And it's good at such times to really be reminded of this, to be assured of this, especially when it doesn't look like the case is. It looks like man prevails. We hear again and again in news today in New Zealand looking at making laws to legalize euthanasia, and you think in the midst of this attempt to save lives with the pandemic, we authorising abortion and the slaying of the babes in the womb, we will kill the, or let take their own lives, the elderly, and we're choosing out our own way. And you think of how man is acting and reacting, and the Lord says, but I will be exalted. Man might try all his best efforts that he can, and you try to control the virus, and you try to make laws, and you try to be in control. But in the end, the Lord is in control, not man. I don't know about you, but many times you hear statements from those God has appointed over us. We will beat this, we will do this, and we will do that. And we thought, who are you in God's hand? In God's sight, you cannot do anything but that the Lord gives you power to do. Our Lord said to Pilate, when Pilate said, thinkest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and power to deliver thee? Thou couldst have no power at all except it be given thee from above. And that applies to this time. Those in authority over us have no power over, in a way, our lives or over the virus, except it be given from above. And so God is in control. How is he in control? And where is he in control? We're told here, among the heathen, among those that don't even acknowledge or believe in God, and exalted in the earth, right the way through the earth. I believe this word, it points to the gospel days. It points to where the Lord will gather in the heathen. He will gather in the Gentiles as he is doing, and he has blessed in a gospel day. And so in that way, he's not only exalted in showing his power and might in the earth, but also in the preaching of the gospel, in the lifting up of a precious Christ, in the witness that is in the earth. It is not all that that witness will result in souls saved, but it will result in God being exalted, God being lifted up and justified and honoured and glorified. He is so in what is happening in the earth. None could say if in years to come that the Lord brought the end like foretold in Noah or Lot's day. None could say, well, we've never been warned. The Lord would say, I touched all of those things you're continuing on in, and you took no notice at all. And God is exalted in that. But he is exalted when his servants then lift up the voice. He had it in Haggai, even with the Lord's people. Things were happening, but they needed the prophet to come and interpret to them and say, this is the hand of God. This is not chance. This is not just man's hand. This is God's hand. And dear friends, in all of this, be still and know that I am God. And I find it very much for myself. I get times, not even things that touch myself. I hear things in the news. I hear things with our dear age friends in Bethesda or Pilgrim. And I fear for them. And I get churned up at their loved ones not being able to see them or being on their own in various aspects. And I think, what are you doing? How are you so affected in this? Can't you see God is in control? Do you not know this is his hand and appointment? And, you know, I believe several friends through this time are spending a lot of time getting really churned up, chewed up about things that are done and regulations and laws. We're fighting against everything instead of being still. Instead of being still and knowing that the Lord is God. And I speak that as much to myself because I know it and I feel it. And I feel the need of grace to be still under the Lord's hand. And when we're not, it's almost we're saying the Lord is not in control. He doesn't know what he's doing. Man is taking over and he's steering it the way that he wants. No, the Lord is steering this in every way, the way that he wants and the way that he will desire. And it is to this end he will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. Man is not in control. And we need to be reminded of this. He is in control in the lives of his dear people. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? And may we see this, that the Lord is in control. I think it's one of the books Mr. Ramsbottom wrote, and he used that title for the book of Esther, God in Control, all of the things that were happening. But may we be still and look and notice and see and observe God in control in this time, in our day, in our generation, those things that he is doing in our day. Throughout history, there's been many things that God has done in the lives of his dear people. And some, they've suffered much, much more than ever that we are suffering or those round about us are suffering at this time. And may we be favoured to speak well of the Lord, well of his grace, his providences, be able to say he hath done all things well, that he hasn't made a mistake. May the Lord calm our minds, and this word be a word for us this afternoon. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And may it please the Lord to show us that there are those that the Lord will call at such a time and will bless them and will bring them to know that the Lord is God. And be true worshippers of him, even amongst our assemblies, those of you here that do not as yet know the Lord, and those that the Lord will bring in from outside as well, that the Lord might get to himself the honour and glory due to his dear name. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.